Well, it's my privilege to be the first to say a few words, and it will be in the form of a meditation, I guess you'd call it, on Revelation 3, 10 through 12, what Joel has just read, and certainly not all the ins and outs of that passage as I would upon another occasion. But when I considered from what text I would speak on this occasion, I was drawn immediately to this passage in Revelation. And there were several reasons for this, and some of them will come out as I go along. But just as an overall statement, I was struck by the audience for this particular message from the Lord Jesus. Our words here were addressed 2,000 years ago to the church located in the city of Philadelphia. No, not Philadelphia in the United States, but Philadelphia in modern-day Turkey. But I think it is so pertinent that Jesus was speaking to a local church here. No one was more committed to the idea of supporting the local body than was Dan Pelhank. But it's more than that. This was the most faithful church of the seven that Jesus speaks to in these early chapters of the book of Revelation. And if there is a word that I would use to describe Dan, it is faithful in spiritual matters. There's no Laodicea or even Ephesus or some of the other churches and their characteristics involved here. Dan was a faithful man, and here we have a faithful church. So this particular section of God's Word seems very appropriate to this service. And tonight I want to focus on what the Lord had to say in verses 10 through 12. Here we have a promise that is given to this church, the believers in this church, and it is a promise that I think fits Dan just perfectly. There are three aspects to this promise that Jesus makes. The first one has to do with what the believer does. It's connected to what the believer does. And then we see two further ways in which God shows his mercy and his grace to us. The first part of this promise involves the keeping of Christ's word. The keeping of Christ's word. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, as it reads in my translation. The word of Christ's perseverance, that word can also be translated steadfastness or endurance. The idea here is that Jesus has committed truth to us and told us to hold fast to that despite all the attempts that are thrown at us to sway us, to move us away from remaining in that word that God has given to us. And so in this way, this particular part of this promise is very much like what we've been talking about in 2 Timothy, the idea about guarding, you know, what has been entrusted to us. I certainly see Dan as a model of that. It's our responsibility as believers to keep the word of Christ's perseverance. And it's also something that will happen, basically speaking. It will happen as a pattern, as a habit, if we are one of his. Note that Jesus states that these Philadelphians had kept Christ's word. It's clear that they would continue in faith. And so Christ could confidently speak of what would happen for them, the reward that they would receive, because he knew that indeed they were doing this as his chosen people. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints was precious to Dan, as well as the other doctrines of grace, as we call them. But the perseverance of the saints, the idea that they will inevitably remain in Christ, their Lord and Savior, all the way to their home with him. Dan knew that left to himself, he would abandon the truth, in fact, would never have come to the truth left to himself. But God's word promised that what God had begun in regeneration, in making Dan alive by the Holy Spirit, he would complete until the day of Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 1:6, something that I knew Dan held to very strongly. That was a part of God's word that he held on to, that he kept. Dan knew that no one snatches one of Jesus' sheep out of his hand. He knew that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, the end of Romans chapter 8. But this grace of the Lord, this perseverance, is enacted through testings, and in fact, that's how it becomes evident. It comes through testings, through trials, through difficulties. It's faithfulness through the trials that proves the perseverance that God has planted in us. We're seeing that in the book of Job. That was the whole reason for the book of Job, to show us true faith cannot be destroyed. God will keep those who are his. Dan knew trials. He knew testings, difficulties in the church at times. Sadly, that is sometimes the case. Also difficulties in his own physical body as time went on. But God gave him the grace to endure in faith through all those seasons of his life. To what word did Dan hold fast through the years? Well, Jesus taught many truths. They're all significant. But the heart of that word is what we call the gospel, the good news of God's salvation plan. Dan held fast to the truth that, yes, he had been born a sinner. Always very clear about that, and that's true of all of us. But Jesus had taken the judgment for that sin upon himself on the cross. When Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am the one from above, you will die in your sins," Dan listened. He understood. He believed in the person saying that. He knew that he would die in his sins except for what Jesus had done on his behalf. Dan knew that Jesus had lived the perfect life that he could not live. That he had the righteousness that he needed for his life in order to be right with God. Dan understood the absolute necessity of Jesus dying in his place as that perfect sacrifice for us. He kept that. He expressed that to others. And I think some of you might have some testimony in that regard tonight. Dan believed in the resurrection of Jesus as well as his sacrifice for our sins, which proved that Jesus was able to take away his sins and our sins. It proved that he was the Son of God, that he did have that power, that he really did have that identity, that he really could give Dan his righteousness. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me," Dan gave that word his hearty amen. He kept that word from the day of his conversion by the Holy Spirit until the day that the Lord brought him to heaven. And he also taught that word. He believed it, and he taught it. He spoke it. He passed it along. He entrusted it to others. And he did that without deviation for many years. Many years. I think that his exploration of the Gospel of John was particularly legendary. I'm not sure exactly how long that went on. I believe that was a little before my time here. But I think years were involved in going through the Gospel of John. And he encouraged others to follow the instruction of God's Word. And I'll go a little further even than that. He was willing to, well, I could use the word exhort, but let's use a biblical word, rebuke. Dan was one of the few who was willing to rebuke those who were disobeying that word in an obvious way. He did that out of love for any person who was going down the wrong path. That's keeping the word. That's guarding the word. Dan was a good steward of the word, and we praise God today for this. But then look at what God does for those, and only for those, who do keep his word by his grace. First, we read that he keeps them from the hour of testing in verse 10. He keeps such a person from the hour of testing, which is about to come upon the whole world. This time has clearly not come yet, but it will. God will not refrain from judging this world for its rebellion. He cannot do that and remain a just and holy God. He cannot delay that accounting forever. This time will come. There will come a moment when he can no longer refrain from vindicating his holiness in the face of a rebellious and unbelieving world. And he will pour out his wrath on a rebellious humanity. Most of the rest of this book of Revelation details that terrifying period. God gave us quite a bit of information on what that's going to be like here in this world that he made. And even that is only a prelude to eternity in the lake of fire, which all the unbelieving will experience. Those who have sought refuge in the righteousness of Christ will escape this judgment. That is the promise that we receive here. Dan kept Christ's word, and so he will be kept from the holy anger of God against sin. That's our wonderful comfort for Dan and for ourselves if we have had a similar grace in our own lives. Have you heeded the warnings of Jesus here? There are many of them in Scripture, but even just this one here. The warnings of the coming judgment of sin. Your sin will be judged. Do you know that? Everyone's sin is judged. Okay? And you might think, well, if I'm a believer, my sin isn't judged. Oh, yes, it is. Guess who got judged? Jesus. It's one way or the other. You can have Jesus be judged for your sin, or you can bear it yourself. I wouldn't suggest that. Jesus is coming. He's going to judge, and he's going to reward. Which will it be for you? The reward is talked about here. The reward for the steadfast believer, it's in verse 12 here. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. And he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. And you can read about that New Jerusalem in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. But one of the words in this verse that drew me to this particular passage was that word pillar. Pillar. We have the saying, don't we? A pillar of the church. He's a real pillar of the church. And we have biblical warrant for doing that from Galatians 2:9. Just so you know. Galatians 2:9, where Paul calls those who are leaders in the church pillars. And I will certainly always think of Dan as a pillar of the church. A pillar is not easily moved, is it? They're not known for that. They're not known for a lot of flexibility. They're not really going anywhere. They're strong. They support. They're steadfast. And Dan had the right kind of steadfastness when it came for standing for sound doctrine, for right behavior. Oh, earthquakes do come to God's earthly temple, the church, now and again. And he kept the roof from caving in. I would guess that no one person in the history of Bible Baptist Church has been more continually used of God than Dan. And I'll add this personal note, and it's something that I've shared once or twice. Dan Pelhank was the main reason that I felt that the Lord was calling me to serve here at Bible Baptist. Understanding that the Lord is sovereign, and he does what he does, but he does use means, doesn't he, to accomplish his ends. But I strongly question whether I would have come here if Dan was not part of the mix here. I knew that with him supporting me, as a pillar supports a building, I would be able to face whatever challenges came my way. And I knew that there would be such. But as we say today, with the knowledge that Dan had my back, I felt like those things could be dealt with. Those things could be overcome, whatever they were. He would be the means by which God would sustain my pastorate, and so it proved to be. I feel a personal debt today to Dan's generosity and his encouragement. So it is a good thing to be a pillar of the church. And we need to replace the Dan Pelhanks, as the Lord takes them, with new pillars, and I'm sure that the Lord will provide them. But this verse is not just about Dan, of course, although it really made me think about him. It's not about any one particular person. It points us to this reward. It points us to being even more significant pillars in that future temple. All of those who overcome, we read, all of those who overcome the tests and the snares and the lies of the evil one become pillars in the temple of our God. And the wonderful truth of this is that all believers, all regenerate people are overcomers. Don't think that this is, extra for experts. This is somebody who really get going and get into the elite and then you really get something nice. No, this is everyone for whom Christ died. We can see this in 1 John 5:4-5. Who's an overcomer? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's just what Christ does when he comes into a life. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Dan was an overcomer. We are overcomers if we know the Lord Jesus. So what's true of overcomers in Revelation 3:12? We not only escape the judgment of God's holy wrath that rightly comes on the world, we live forever in the very presence of God. That's what it means to be a pillar in the temple of God. That means that you are fixed there in God's presence forever. That's what it means to live in the New Jerusalem, although it will be a literal place, don't get me wrong. I'm saying, what's the main idea? We will be forever surrounded by the goodness and glory of God as we pursue all of our activities on the new earth. You know, I'm a big new earth person. I'm a big, we live normal human lives, glorified, but it's in the presence of God, always. It's completely living out the life that God has planted in us perfectly. The whole universe is going to be the temple of God. No sin anywhere. Amazing to think of living in that context. It's the place where God will be continually manifesting His nature to us. We'll be part of that divine dwelling place, and we will never leave. No casting out from that garden that's coming. And this is what we celebrate tonight in regard to Dan Pelhank. This is his future. Death cannot prevent this promise of God from taking place in his life. And that's what we anticipate for ourselves if we know the Lord Jesus. Christ has overcome death. In him we overcome death as well. This is Christ's word to the faithful. We will escape his judgment. We'll live with Christ on a new earth, in a new city that will come down out of heaven. So who will keep this word? Who will keep this word as Dan did until the Lord should take us to be with himself? If he should tarry, we will be going. If he could speak to us today, Dan would say, until that time, hold fast what you have.